All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf vav. Six, we are starting on the top of daf vav. Hatzad ha-sheva shabbat. So remember again, after the Mishnah went through all of the avos nizik, after the Mishnah went through all the primary categories of damages, so the Mishnah then said, Hatzad ha-sheva shabbat, the common denominator amongst all of these items is that again, so what was the Hatzad ha-sheva? Hatzad ha-sheva was darkon lahazik. Ultimately, again, they have the capacity to damage, and shmirasan alecha, the responsibility for them is upon you. And then ultimately, when they damage, the damaging party is responsible. So says the Gemara, la suye mai. So we'll say, when the Gemara explained this about atzad hashava, the common denominator amongst them is the following. What is that coming to include? What else is that coming to be marbe? So both say, this is actually quite interesting. So Abai Amar Abai, Lasui Avno Sakino Maso Shenicham Rosh Gago. So both say, remember again, so the Mishnah goes ahead and essentially puts down a principle, or a Tzad HaShava. Tzad HaShava means a common denominator. So what's the common denominator among the items in our Mishnah? A, they all have the ability to damage. B, they are all my property, and C, I have an obligation to watch over all of them. That's the common denominator among all the items in the Mishnah. So the Gemara, so Abaye says, so what else is that, when you express a common denominator like that, you must be coming to include additional cases other than the ones mentioned in the Mishnah. So what else is it coming to include? So Amar Abaye says, Lasuya avno sakino maso. It's coming to include the following case. We actually mentioned this in yesterday's daf. One's stone, knife, or bundle, shenichen berosh agag, and one left it on top of the roof, v'naflu beruach mitzuya v'heziko, and a regular wind came along, blew these items off the roof, and ultimately, again, caused damage. So therefore, the Abai is saying that if this happened, you would be chayiv, because again, remember, the criteria is met. These items belong to me, they have the ability to damage, and the ability to, and the obligation to watch it, is upon me. So says the Gemara, Hechi Dami, so what's the case? I bahadidi ka'azli kamaski. So we'll say, if they did damage as they were being blown off the roof, then hainu esh. Then I will say, then this category of damage is subsumed under esh. Because remember, again, this is like esh. Why? Because esh damages as it's moving. So therefore, again, if the rock or the knife or the bundle are falling down, and as they're falling, they're causing damage, then lemais, again, that's esh. The Gemara says, maishna esh, because what's unique about esh? The koach achar mu'urav bo. Number one, in order for esh to go out and damage, there has to be another force. Usually that force is wind. That's the koach achar mu'urav bo. Umamoncha, and it's your responsibility, it's your property, meaning the esh is yours. Ushmi raso alecha, and the responsibility to guard that fire is upon you. Therefore, the Gemara says, hani nami, so too over here, by the case of Avno, Sakino, and Maso, we would say the same thing. Koach achar mu'urav bo. And Rabbi Yossi, again, remember, these items are sitting stationary on my roof. And now when they're blown off because, again, there is a wind that is acting upon them. Umamoncha, these are my items. Ushmi rasan alecha, and the responsibility for them is upon me. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi, if you're talking about a case where the Avno, Sakino, and Maso are damaging as they're blown off the roof, then lemaisa, that becomes a case of esh. That becomes a case of fire. So if that's the case, automatically it's included in one of the categories of the Mishnah. Ela basar denaychi. Rather, it must be what? We're talking about a case where the wind blew off the avno sakino maso, the stone, the sakin, the knife, or the bundle, and now it's sitting in Rosh Sarabim, and somebody trips over it, or it damages someone in that capacity. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? Ida afkarinhu, if you made these items hefker after they went ahead and they fell into the Rosh Sarabim, then bein l'rav, bein l'shmol hanubar. We'll say, you know, we're going to get into this, by the way. We've quoted this already a number of times, but we haven't actually learned the sugya, which is that at the end of the day, the unique part about bar, as we're going to see, is that even though you make something hefker, one would assume that once you make it hefker, you no longer bear responsibility. But the interesting part about bar is, if you made it, or if it originally was yours, even if you're mafkir it, it does not free you from responsibility. So we haven't discussed it. We've made reference to this many times, but we have not yet discussed it. So we will come to it in Meretz Shem in just a little bit. So the Gemara says the following. So now you want to tell me that the case is where the Abno, Sakino, and Maso are sitting on top of the roof. A Ruach Mitzu, a regular wind, comes along, knocks them off. They fall into Rosh Hashanah. So now, and then they cause damage while they're in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. So if you made it Hefker, if you made the objects Hefker, then Bein L'Rab, Bein L'Shmuel, Hainu Bar, then both according to Rab and Shmuel, this is called a case of Bar. This is Bar. Because the most paradigmatic case of Bar is, you have an item that you owned in Rosh Hashanah, you're Mafker, you make it Hefker, somebody gets damaged as a result of it, that's Bar. So the Gemara says, Maishna Bar, because after all, what's unique about Bar? Shekein Tchilas Asiya Solen Ezek Umamon Chosh Mirasan Alecha. Because we'll say unique qualities of Bar is that Tchilas Asiya Solen Ezek, from its inception, it has the capacity to damage Umamoncha, it's your property, Ushmirasan Alecha, and the obligation to safeguard it is upon you. Haninami, if that's the case, then when the Avno Sakino Maso fly off the roof, fall into Rosh Sarabim, and now you're mafgirit, it satisfies those same criteria. Tchilas asiyasul and ezek, from the beginning, they have the capacity to do damage. Umamoncha, they are your property. Ushmirasan alecha, and the responsibility to guard them is upon you. Rather, it must be Ela Delo afkarinu. Rather, Rabbi said the case again. Rabbi says, just keep our eye on the ball. Remember, what are we trying to remember? The Mishnah made a statement. The Mishnah made a statement that the common denominator among the cases in the Mishnah is that there are cases of items that have the ability to do damage. They are my property, and I have the responsibility to guard them. The Gemara understands that the stating of a common denominator means to include additional cases that are not explicitly stated in the Mishnah. We're trying to figure out what those additional cases are. So Abaye is now positing that the case that it's coming to include is a case of where my stone, my knife, or my bundle were sitting on top of the roof. And then they were blown off and they did damage. We're trying to figure out now again what's the case where they're ultimately doing damage. Now the where the Gemara is holding is, it must be a case where it's blown off the roof, landed in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, okay, now it did damage. Somebody tripped over it, fell onto it, whatever it was, did damage. So what's the case? So if you say it's a case where the owner made the objects hefker, then that's bar. And if it's bar, then it's already, the Mishnah already states bar. Rather, it must be that what? It landed in Rosh Hashanah, and what? He didn't make it hefker. So okay, so let's analyze this. So el d'lafkarinu. So the Gemara says, l'shmuel d'amar kula mibaro lamadnu haynu bar. But even then, Abbas, remember, we saw this machlokis Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, an object can only be considered a bar if it's hefker. If it's not hefker, then it doesn't fall under the category of bar. According to Shmuel, any stationary object that does damage in Rosh Hashanah is called bar. So even according to Shmuel, even if you did not go ahead and make the objects hefker, they still are considered bar. So to which the Gemara says, the olam dafkarinu. No, the case is where you made the objects hefker below damul bar. But the truth is, Rabbi said, the Gemara is suggesting this case is not like bar. Why? Ma lebar shekain ein ruach. Sorry, shekain ein koach acher mu'rav bo. Because Rabbi said, when it comes to bar, there is no other force involved in bar. In other words, bar, remember, by itself is a damaging item, and there is no other force involved with it. However, tomar bahani shekoach acher murabenu. Also, remember, the only way that these objects became a bar was how? Because of the wind. Remember, again, these are my objects over here. I left them on the rooftop. And the truth is, you know, to us that sounds reckless. But again, I secured on the rooftop. Also remember, when the Gemara talks about rooftops, so what type of rooftops are they talking about? Flat roofs, right? It's not talking about on my pitched roof, where I'm leaving my knife on top of my pitched roof over there, and it's pretty obvious it's going to fall off. These are flat roofs. So I leave something on my, people have stuff on the roof all the time, and I left it in a way that, again, it should be able to remain there. Now what happens is a koach acher. There's another wind that comes along, and again, we'll get into this case actually more in terms of what type of wind we're talking about, but there's another wind now that goes ahead and acts upon that object and blows it off the roof. So says the Gemara, and now it lands in Rosh Sarabim. So the Gemara says, well, one second, if you're going ahead and making it Hefker, so isn't that a case of Bar? To which the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you, see, so the Gemara says it like this, it may be Bar, but I would not have been able to learn it out from Bar. Why? Because the paradigmatic case of Bar is an object that has damaging capacity without the involvement of any other secondary force. As opposed to these objects that only become Bar how? Ultimately because there's a Ruach, because there's a wind that transforms them into Bar. Without the wind, these objects would have never become Bar. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, so Tomar Bahani Shekwach Acham Urav Bahan, there is another force acting on earth that the Avno Sakino Maso, the stone, the knife, the bundle, would not have become a damaging force without the wind. To which the Gemara says, therefore, again, the Gemara suggests, I would not have been able, therefore, to learn it out from the case of Bar by itself. To which the Gemara says, one second, Eish Tochiach, but why can't you bring a Raya from Eish that this case is problematic? Because we will say, after all, how does Eish work? Eish only works how? With Koach Acher Mu'uruf Bo. There has to be another force that's acting upon it. In other words, Eish by itself does not have the ability to damage. It's only Eish mixed with Ruach. To which the Gemara says, one second, Mali Eish, you can't learn out from Eish either, Shekein Darko Lelech Ulahazik. Because it will say, Eish has the ability to move on its own and damage. Masha'enke, in this case of Avno Sakino Maso, the knife, the stone, and the bundle, do not have the ability to move on their own. To which the Gemara says, Bar Tochiach, so fine, we can learn it out from Bar, that ultimately is a stationary damager, the Chazra Din. So we'll say, so look what the Gemara is doing over here. So the Gemara says, so now, at the end of the day, this case of Avno, Sakino, and Maso, this case of where I left my stone, my knife, and my bundle on the rooftop, and a wind came along and blew it off, it's in Rosh Hasharabim now, and it damages. So the Gemara points out over here that you would not be able to learn liability for this case from any one specific case in the Mishnah. Why? Because each specific case, because this case doesn't really measure up to any one specific case. On one hand, it's like bar, because it's an object sitting in the Shusarabim that has the ability to damage. But why isn't it like bar? Why is it? Because koach acham urav bo, right? Excellent. Because again, at the end of the day, bar doesn't have a secondary force that makes it into a damaging power. Masha enke, this only becomes a bar because of the wind. Aye, so maybe it's like ish. Eish is a koach acham urav bo, but it's not like Eish. Why isn't it like Eish? Because Eish is a mobile damager, as opposed to these items which are stationary, to which the Gemara says, you're right. It's not like any one of the cases, but here's what's interesting, is that if you put the cases together, what do you emerge with? You emerge with what's called a tzad hashava. A tzad hashava also means what? A common denominator. And what's the common denominator? That any object that has the ability to damage is your property, and you have the responsibility to guard, you are responsible for damages that it causes. Therefore, again, that was the principle of the Mishnah Bosai, and therefore the Gemara suggests, over here, Abaye suggests, that principle is coming to include this case of Avno, Sakino, and Maso, that I left on the roof, was then blown into Rosh Hasharabim. Teach me that I'm chayiv for that case. It doesn't measure up, or it doesn't resemble any one of the cases in the Mishnah explicitly, you're right, but when you put all the cases together and you emerge with the common denominator, then Lamaisa, again, it comes to include this case as well. That's Abaye. Rav Abaye, so we're going to have a number of different interpretations as to which new case the common denominator is coming to teach me. Rav Amar, La'asuye bor ha-miskalgel beragli adam ragli behema. So we'll say, Rav says, it's coming to teach me the following case of what's called, this is actually really a fascinating case, of bor ha-miskalgel. Bor ha-miskalgel means a moving bor, or literally a rolling bor. Rashi says over here, look at Rashi, Bar Miskalgel, Kigon Himiach Evan Bir Shusarabim. The case over here is I put a stone down in the public domain, Uba Oda Bim Komolo Hezika. And while the stone was stationary, it didn't do any damage. But what happened? The Gilgul Aragli Adam Behema Lamakam Acher Vezika Sham. Let's listen to this case. So I put down a stone of Shusarabim, and then what happens? Reuven comes along and kicks the stone. So the stone where it was sitting, the stone where it was stationary, didn't do any damage. But then Reuven kicked the stone, and what happened? The stone did damage in its new location. So says the Gemara, watch this. So Rava says, the Mekam Ramir of Misha is coming to include this case of Bor HaMisgalgel. So they both say, in that case where Reuven kicks the stone, I am still responsible for the damages the stone does in the secondary location. So the Gemara says, and by the way, it's not just Reuven, it's whether a person kicks a stone or an animal kicks a stone. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this. Hei Chidomi. What's the case? Ida afkarinu. If I made the stone hefker, then bein the rav, bein the shmuel, hainu bar. So we'll say, if I made the stone hefker, so of course I'm chayiv. Why? Why? Bar. Because both according to rav and according to shmuel, when you make an object hefker, it takes on the identity of bar. Because why? Maishna bar. What's unique about bar? Shkein tchilas asiyas l'nezek. Because from the beginning, a bar has the ability to damage. Ushmira salacha, and I have the responsibility to guard it. Hani nami tchilas asiyas l'nezek. Ushmira salacha. So I'll say, so to this stone that I placed on Rosh Rabim. Again, it has the ability to damage from the beginning. The responsibility to watch it is on me. So therefore, again, it's obvious that it's a case of bar nam chayiv. Elo. Rather, it must be a case of what? Where I did not make the stone hefker. Alright, so let's analyze this. So even if I didn't make the stone hefker, the Shmuel do amar kulam mi baro lamadnu hainu bar, according to Shmuel, it says Rabosai, that any object that has the ability to damage, that's in Rosh Sarabim, is bar. And according to Shmuel, that's true even if you didn't make it hefker. So this is still a case of bar. To which the Gemara says, no. The olam da afkarinu. In reality, this is a case of where I put the stone down, Rosh Hasharabim, and I made it hefker. If I made it hefker, why is it not just a simple, straightforward case of bar? Why do I need to spend my time learning Avsati Sam Chayiv? To which the Gemara says, v'lo tami labar. But really, it's not comparable to bar. Why is it not comparable to bar? Ma labar shekein ma'as of garmulo. Oh. What's that? Because in the case of bar, who is the one that caused the damage? Right, Rabbi, so let's take a paradigmatic case of bar. I go into a shop, and what do I do? I dig a pit. Right? That's, you know, I dig a pit. So we'll say at the end of the day, now Reuven's ox falls in and dies. So we'll say, who caused that damage? So you could time that was the bar, it wasn't me. I understand, but I created it. I created the damaging force. I created it. She came massive garmulo. So we'll say, but yet again, Tomar Bahani, she massive garmulo. But we'll say, now listen to this. Now in this case over here, I placed the rock down in the Rosh Hasharabim. Then what happened? Reuven came along and kicked it. And it damaged in its new location. So in reality, again, it's true, I brought the stone to Rosh Hasharabim. But at the end of the day, you can't make the argument that it's my actions that damaged the second guy in the second location. In reality, it's Reuven's actions, because Reuven went ahead and kicked the stone. Now the halacha says, I, the bringer of the stone to Rosh Hasharabim, am still chayiv for that. Because I am the one that introduced the stone into the Rosh Hasharabim. But the Gemara says, Rava says, you could not have learned that out from a typical case of bar. Because in a typical case of bar, I am the one who created the active damager. In this case over here, I might have brought the object, but I did not make it into an active damager. That's Reuven who kicked it down the road and made it into the active damager. So the Gemara says, Tomar Bahani, Shin Masav Garmalo. At the end of the day, this case, my actions did not create the damage. Look at Rashi. Masav. Kriyaso Garma Sahazak. Under normal circumstances, the one who digs the pit is the one who causes the damage. Ava Maasav Shalzeh Lohiziko. But in this case, I will say, where I brought the stone to Rosh Hasharabim, but Reuven kicked it, so I did not create the damaging ability. Ava Ragale Adum Behemashil Golgaluhu. Rather, it's the people who kicked it down the road, ultimately, who went ahead and caused the damaging ability. To which the Gemara says, Shor Yochiach. So in reality, we could prove that this case is Chayiv from Shor. Why, Rabbi? Because listen to this. What's the case of Shar? The case of Shar is where my animal... Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. It's a good try. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Shar Yochiach. So what's the case of Shar Yochiach? So Shar Yochiach means that what? That you could go ahead and you could prove from the case of Shar. Because we'll say, what happens with Shar? What happens with Shar is, who does the damage in the case of Shar? Not me. Right? I, the owner, I didn't do anything. My shor is damaging, yet what? I am still chayiv. Look at Rashi, shor yochiach, she'ein maisa ba'alim garmu. Because we'll say the actions of the ba'alim did not do anything. Ela mamono hizik, but rather again, it's my property that damaged. V'ainu atzad ha'shav, sh'nakim mas tisin, to which the Gemara says, but one second, ma'al shor she'ein darko le'lechu lahazik. But I will say, here's the problem. You can't really learn out this case from Shar. Why? Because Shar is unique. Because Shar moves and does damage. And yet the stone is stationary. Bar Yochiach, or Bar Tochiach. So we'll say we can learn out from Bar, because Bar is a stationary damager. And we'll say, what do you see from here? Chazer Adin, Lo Re'izeh, Keri'izeh. To which the Gemara says, what do you see from here, Abosai? You see from here that this case of the stone placed in Rishus HaRavim, that doesn't damage in the place that it was placed, but rather is kicked to a secondary location and damages there, that case does not resemble any one case in the Mishnah. But what does it resemble? It does, or not resemble, but it does fit in to the common denominator principle espoused in the Mishnah, that any object that has the ability to damage is your property, and you have the responsibility to guard. When it damages, you are chayef for damages caused. Therefore, Rava comes along and says, Rava gives his interpretation, that the principle of the Mishnah is coming to include this particular case. Another approach. Rav Adamar Ava Amar. Rav Adamar Ava says, La sui hadisanya. It's coming to include, the common denominator is coming to include the following case. Kol elu sha'amru. Rav said, this is actually really fascinating. Kol elu sha'amru. And I'm not just saying that. I know people say, I say that often. This case really is really fascinating, because it also gives you an insight into like societal realities in the times of the Gemara. It's really amazing. Kol elu sha'amru poskin bivosehen vigarfin ma'arosein bimosachama. So also listen to this. A little bit of background. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kol elu sha'amru dekachashe va'azalehu ela poskim bivoseihem vegarpin ma'arosim kilomar kol elu sha'amru chacham sheish lan rishus lahashlich niskein rishus haradim. So ve'elu hein, let me just read the Rashi and then we'll explain. Ve'elu hein poskim bivoseihem. So we'll say, listen to this. So people, you understand, in the days before sewer systems, so what would people do? So you'd have an outhouse or whatever form of bathroom you had, and essentially you had like tanks or pipes that stored the waste. At some point in time, however, you need to clean out the pipes, you need to clean out the tanks. But where do you let all the waste go? So amazingly enough, Chazal gave license that at certain times of the year, you were able to empty out your septic tanks into Rishus HaRabim, into the public domain. So we'll say, so now, yeah, okay. So,
and Yerushalayim?
Yes. Yes. Right, correct. But not just Yerushalayim. They were able to do this everywhere. Meaning, this was the reality of their sewer systems. Right, at some point in time, they had to go ahead and empty everything into the streets. So the Gemara says like this, Kol elu sha'amru poskin bivoseyan. We'll say, when Chazal said that literally you could open up the pipes, bivoseyan are pipes, garfin ma'arosem, literally you could clean out, ma'arosem is a cave, but in this case, it really means a pit, a sewer pit, a septic tank. So when did Chazal say you could do it? The Gemara says you could only do it, bimosach hama elin rishus, so Chazal said, you were only able to do this during the winter and not during the summer. Why? Because again, rainy season. So you can empty out your sewer pit, you can empty out your septic tank. And again, I want to be clear also, you couldn't do this during the whole rainy season. There were specific times that Chazal said that you could be able to do this. So you could open up during the rainy season. Obviously, you can't do it during the summer. Why? Because so the idea is during the rainy season, the roads are muddy anyway. Right? Everything is disgusting anyway. So again, and plus you have the rain or whatever else washes things away. But however, in the summer, when it's dry, so you can't start emptying out the septic tanks into the Rosh Hashanah. But I will say, here's the interesting happen. This is amazing. Now, let's analyze this. So I'm opening up my septic tank, right? And I'm draining it into Rosh Hashanah. And again, I have a license to do so. Then what happens? Im Hiziku. Let's say someone comes along, and I have rishus to do this, but they slip on the my stuff, and what happens? And they go ahead, he breaks his arm, I'm chayy for those damages. Now what's the novelty in this ruling? I told you, this is amazing stuff. The novelty in this ruling is, I am doing this with rishus, meaning I'm not doing anything illegal, I'm doing everything absolutely legal. But nevertheless, I am responsible for any damages that occur. In his ziku chayovim. In his ziku chayovim mushalim. So what's the case here? So the case over here is obviously where somebody's getting damaged by my waste. So it says the Gemara, what's the case? If the waste is flowing out of the septic tank, and as it's moving, so a person gets damaged, then the Gemara says, Kochohu. Then Rabbi says, that's considered to be my direct koach. In other words, we're going to learn that anything that happens as a result of my direct actions is called my koach, is called my effort, and therefore if I'm damaging someone like that, then lemaisa, again, that's as if I'm personally damaging them. Then it makes sense I have to pay. Ella basar denaich. Rather, it must be that I opened up the septic tank, the waste came to rest in the Rosh HaSarabim, and it damaged then. So I said, well, what's the case? Hechidami. Eid afkarinu, if I made it hefker, being the rabbi and the shulchan hadubar. So I'll say, so now we're rehashing the same thing. Say, if I made it hefker, then both according to Rabbi and Shmuel, that's called bar. And of course, I'm chayiv. Maishna bar, because what's unique about bar? The tchilas asiyasul enezek, because Rosh has the ability to damage from the beginning. Umamoncha, it's my property. Ushmirasa alecha, and the responsibility to guard it is upon me. Haninami, so to the waste that comes out of the septic tank. Tchilas asiyasul enezek, from the beginning it has the ability to damage. Umamoncha, it's my property. Ushmirasa alecha, then therefore I have the obligation to guard it, and therefore Rabbi Yosef goes without saying that if someone is damaged as a result, that they will be chayiv. Elo delo afkarinu. Rather, it must be that when I opened up the septic tank and the waste flowed into the Rosh HaSarabim, I didn't make it hefker. So we'll say, according to Shmuel, who says that even if an object is not hefker, but it's in the Rosh HaSarabim, it's still called the bar. So the waste that's in the Rosh HaSarabim, even if I didn't make it hefker, will still be called bar, be chai for damages. To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? I opened up the septic tank, the waste flowed into Rosh HaSarabim, and what? And I made it hefker. The Rebbe says, and now Reuven comes along, and he slips on it, and he breaks his arm. So the Mishnah says, I'm chayiv for that. The Gemara says, but that's obvious, that's bar. To which the Gemara says, no, here's the novelty. Hello, dummy labar. It doesn't really resemble the case of bar. Why not? Ma labar shakim berishus. We'll say for one simple reason. The paradigmatic case of bar is where what? I'm digging a pit, but what? I have no permission to do so. There's no license to do it, and that's why I'm chayiv. Tomar bahani de berishus. Rabbi Yosef, in this case over here, where I'm opening up my septic tank, I'm doing so with rishus. So therefore, I might have thought that therefore I shouldn't be chayiv. Therefore, again, the brisa, the common denominator teaches me that I am. But she says, you know, one second, shor yochia. Rabbi Yosef, shor could teach me that I'm chayiv. Why? Because Rabbi Yosef, remember again, what's the case of shor? I'm walking in rishus harabim, and my animal does damage to someone else. I'm chayiv. Even though what? My shor, my ox, had the rishus to be in rishus harabim. To which the Gemara says, "Malu shush kin darko lelechu lahazik." It's different because shar damages while moving. So therefore, you can't compare it to the case of opening up the septic tank. To which the Gemara says, "Bar tochiyah." Oh, but you can compare it to the case of bar v'chazreden. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from the case here that the case of opening up the septic tank, allowing the human waste to flow into Rosh Hasharabim, and somebody going ahead and slipping and injuring themselves on that, is not directly comparable to any one case. But once you have the common denominator of any object that is yours, has the ability to damage, and you have a responsibility to guard that causes damage, you are chayiv for. So this case fits into that category as well. Ravina Amar. So we'll say Ravina says that the common denominator is coming to teach me something different. La suya hadisnan. It comes to include the following case. Hakosel va'ilan. We'll say another interesting case. If you have a wall or a tree, shenafulu Rosh HaSarabim ve'ziko patra milashalim. Well, listen to this. If you have a wall, a kosel, or a tree that fell into Rosh HaSarabim, ultimately, again, and they caused damage, you, the owner of the tree, are potter from paying for damages. Now, both saying that we're going to have to discuss this case in great depth because this is maisim b'chol yom. This happens all of the time where something on my property either falls into someone else's property or falls into Rosh HaSarabim and causes damage. The Gemara seems to be over here that I'm not chayav for those damages. We'll discuss the parameters of that case. However, listen to this. Nasnu lo zman lakotz esa ilan b'listra esa kosel. Listen to this. Let's say I have a tree that mamish is falling down. It's falling down, and it's clear that it's only a matter of time until it falls down. So what happens? Beis Din sends a representative and says, Silber, you've got 1 week, you've got 30 days to cut down that tree. You have to get that tree down. So what happens? Or I have a wall that's a leaning wall. And so Beis Din says, listen, you've got 30 days to take down that wall before we fine you. So listen to this. Say if the wall or the tree fell down inside the allotted of time, meaning they gave me 30 days to take down the tree, and the tree fell down 15 days later. and cause damage, what's the halacha? Potter. So also I'm potter. Why? Because again, I'm living within the confines of law because I wasn't yet obligated to take down the chair, to take down the wall. However, the acher hazman, but lemais at the end of the day, after the timing, in other words, let's say again, Basin gave me 30 days to take down the chair, to take down the wall, and it's now day 32, and now it falls down and causes damage, then what? I am chayiv. Says the Gemara, what's the case? Heichi dami. Id afkira. If I made the tree hefker, then bein l'rav, bein l'shmol hainu bar. So I'll say, if I made the tree hefker, then at the end of the day, it's bar, right? Maishna bar, de'azeko matzoi, u'shmiraso alecha. So we'll say, in the case of bar, where, again, it has the ability to damage, and I have an obligation to watch it, hani nami hazeka matzoi, u'shmiraso alecha. So too in this case over here of the tree or the wall, they have the ability or capacity to damage. It's common for them to damage, and I have a responsibility to watch over them. So if it's a case of where I made it hefker, so then that's a case of bar, and of course I'm going to be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, "Idel afkarinu." If I didn't make the tree hefker, then the Shmuel domer kula mibara lemanu hainu bar. Then I will say, according to Shmuel, at least it's still called bar. Because remember, Shmuel's opinion is that what? That lemaisa, even if the object is not hefker, I am still chayiv alt bar. To which the Gemara says, "The olam daafkarinu." No, what's the case? The case is where I made the tree or the wall hefker. The lo dami lebar. And I will say they're not really comparable to bar. Why not? Because also when it comes to bar, a bar has the ability or capacity to damage from the beginning. But I will say, see, a bar is inherently a damaging force from its inception. On the other hand, when you think about it, a wall or a tree are not inherently damaging forces, meaning in their purest form, it's just the wall and it's just the tree. To which the Gemara says, Shar Yochiach, but you can go and you compare the case of the wall and the tree to the shar. Because I will say, after all, again, a shar also is not inherently a damaging item. To which the Gemara says, Ma'alu shar shekein darko leilechu lahazik. You can't really compare it to shar. Why? Because I will say, shar is a mobile item, as opposed to the tree or the wall, which are stationary. To which the Gemara says, Bar Tochiach. Ultimately, you can learn out from bar, the chazra din. So again, what do you see from here? You see from here, we'll say that this case of the fallen tree or the fallen wall does not exactly compare to the case of bar, doesn't exactly compare to the case of shor, but when you create the common denominator saying what? Any item that has the ability to damage is yours and the responsibility to watch it is upon you. If it does damage, you are chayiv. That would come to include this case of the fallen wall or the fallen tree. So we'll say, bottom line, the Mishnah teaches, after teaching us the Arba Avos Nezikin, after teaching us the four primary categories of damages, Lemaisa, what the Mishnah teaches me is a principle. Really better stated than a come there in principle. And the principle is any item that belongs to you has the ability to damage, and you are responsible to make sure it doesn't damage. If it does damage, then Lemaisa, you are chayiv for that. And now what we've seen is, between Abaye, Rava, Rav Ada Bar Ava, and Ravina, four different possible cases as to now that are included as a result of that principle of the Mishnah. Four unique cases that were not learned, that were not stated in the Mishnah, and do not explicitly resemble any one of the Avos. But because of the common denominator principle, can be learned out. It says the Gemara, Kishechav Hamazik, Kishehizik Chav Hamazik. So remember, the Mishnah then said that ultimately, again, when the damager damages, Chav Hamazik. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, Chav Hamazik, Chav Hamazik, Chayiv Hamazik Mibarilei. So we'll say, why does it say Chav Hamazik? It should say Chayiv Hamazik. The damager is Chayiv. Well, this is actually very interesting. I'm Rav Yehuda, Amarav, Hai Tana Yerushalmi Hu. The Tana of our Mishnah is a Yerushalmi, the Tani Lishna Kalila. We'll say, so the Yerushalmi were notorious for always using abridged Lashonos. Right, they always spoke in a more curt fashion, and therefore, again, if a Babli was writing the Mishnah, the Babli would have written Kishehizik Chayiv Hamazik. When he damaged, the Mazik is Chayiv, but because he's Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi instead of saying Chayiv said Chav. Okay. So ultimately, again, when the damager damages, he's obligated to pay restitution, to pay nezek. Ten Rabbanan. So we're never going to get into an interesting sugya. So Ten Rabbanan, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karma Yishanim. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, Kiyaver Ish Sadeh, O Karen, Vishilach Esbira, Obir Vistachas. So we'll say, this Pasuk is actually talking about Regel and Shame. We actually spoke about this Pasuk, that my animal goes ahead and consumes produce in the field of another. So the Torah says, Meitav Sadehu, Umeitav karmo yishalim. You have to pay from the best of your field or from the best of your vineyard. So meitav's the umeitav karmo yishalim. Meitav sadeu shal nizak. Umeitav karmo shal nizak. The Rabbi Shmuel. So Moshe Rabbi Shmuel says that when assessing damages, we assess damages in accordance with the best of the property of the damaged party. Damaged party. These are Rabbi Shmuel. We'll define what this means in just a moment. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the Torah is not telling me that I assess damages based on the best property of the damaged party. Rather, it's telling me that when you pay for damages, you have to go ahead and pay min ha'idis, from the best of your property. Look at Rashi. Rashi is, Meitav sadeu shal nizak, shim ach la aruga besadeu shaman aruga meshubacha shal nizak, kama yafe ach shavim perosel, vekama te yafe below peros, vinosin lo. So what's according to Rabbi Shmuel, when you assess damages, you look at the best of the property of the damaged party. You saw, for example, let's say the animal ate a row of crops. So you look at the best row of crops in the damaged party's property. And lemaisa, again, you look at how much that row is worth with crops, how much that row is worth without crops. That difference is what the damager is obligated to pay. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Again, we're going to define this a little more in just a moment. Rabbi Akiva, look at Rashi, says, Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says that no, we assess damages in accordance with the best property of the damager. The shaman aruga shal nizak lefi mashihi, v'mazik ba liten lo karka b'demei nisko, nosin lo meitav sadosav shava osan damim. So it's Rabbi Akiva, this is coming to teach me, that if the damager wants to pay back with property, the damager has to pay back in accordance with what? With the best of his property. So it's like fundamental machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. Everybody's going to agree you have to pay back with the best. The shayla is, who's best? Rabbi Shmuel says, we assess damages based on the best of the damaged party's property. So for example, again, it seems to be that Rabbi Shmuel is saying is, if the animal ate a row of produce, we look at the best row of produce that the damaged party has, and we assess damages based on that. According to Rabbi Akiva, when the damager pays back, the damager has to pay back in accordance with the best of his property. So what does this mean? The Kavachomer Lehegdish, and it's Kavachomer Tekdish, as we'll discuss. Rabbi Shmuel, so he says, let's analyze. Rabbi Shmuel, is that to say, Achol Shmina Mashalim Shmina? So I understand, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if my animal ate the best row of produce of Reuven's property, I have to pay back the best row of produce. Achol Kechusha Mashalim Shmina, but are you telling me if my animal ate only a very inferior row of produce, that I have to pay back with the best row of produce, even though it only consumed an inferior row of produce? Ravidi bar Avin Hakam Haskina, what's the case? Kigon Sha'achal Aruga Bein Ha'arugos V'lo Yad Inan Ikechu Sha'achal Ishmein Achal. Oh, but listen to this case. Here's what we know. My animal ate a row of produce from Reuven's field. What's the problem? I don't know which row. Did it eat a row of superior produce or inferior produce? The Mishalim Shmina and Rabbi Shmuel saying, in that case where I don't know, I have to what? I have to pay back in accordance with the best row of produce in Reuven's field. So I said, what? Amar Rav, that doesn't make sense. Ilu yadinan di kechusha achalom Mishalim ala kechusha. So had I known that the animal ate a row of inferior produce, I'd only have to repay inferior produce. Hashta delo yadinan I kechusha achal, I shemeno achal, Mishalim shemeno. Are you literally telling me that if my animal ate a row of produce from Reuven's field, then I don't know which row the animal ate, that the halacha is going to tell me that I have to pay back the best row? It doesn't make sense. Hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. I will say again, in general, if Reuven wants me to pay back the best row, then the obligation is upon who? I will say, any time you want to extract money from another, the burden of proof is always upon the extractor. Rich Rabbeinu says a very logical halacha, because remember, at the end of the day, the money's in my pocket, which means I have the chazaka that I am the owner of the money. If you want to extract money from me, that's fine, but the burden of proof is not for me to prove that I'm the owner of the money. Why? Because it's in my pocket, right? The chazaka tells me I'm the owner of the money. The burden of proof is upon the extractor. So if my animal goes ahead and eats a row of Reuven's produce, so again, I'm saying, Reuven, as far as I'm concerned, I'll pay you back for a row of inferior produce. If Reuven wants to prove that my animal ate, if Reuven wants to say, no, you owe me for a row of the best produce, Reuven has to prove that, in fact, that's what my animal consumed, to which the Gemara says, Ella, so what's the case over here? Ella, Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Hacham Askin, and what's the case? Kegon Shehaise Idis Tenizik, Kiziburis Tenmasik. Oh, both say the case over here is the following. The case over here is where the best property of the Nizak is like the Ziburis of the Mazik. So we'll stop over here with this case. But we'll say now we're going to get into the interesting Sugya, where Lemaisa, again, remember, here's what we're going to leave off with. We're leaving off with, there's a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel as to whose property is used as the basis for valuation of payment for damages. Rabbi Shmuel seems to say that at the end of the day, it's the property of the damaged party. Rabbi Akiva seems to say it's the property of the damaging party, the damager. And Lamaisa will see, Mirat Hashem, where these positions come to a clash tomorrow. All right, go ahead, we'll stop over here. I'm sorry? Oh, Rosh Chodesh. I will say 5:45 tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh. No. 5:45, Daf Yomi starts. No, Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.